Okay, we have a lesson, and while they're passing out the lesson, we will. I wanted to go back to last week a little bit, and first of all, state correctly what I didn't state correctly. First of all, in Proverbs 31, I just wanted to mention, Mrs. Buta tried to get me thinking right, but I didn't work. First of all, in Proverbs 31, I just wanted to mention that certainly the Bible does speak well of beauty. And it does speak well of the beauty of holiness as well. But in Proverbs 31, really the contrast is that as great as beauty is earthly beauty, it's temporary. And there's something that's permanent, right? And what is that? The fear of the Lord. And so I wanted to make sure that my one focused mind was skipping over that and not dealing with that correctly. Then, and 1 Timothy 2, the question, we had the question of this phrase of verse 8 and 9. Is that right? 8 or 9, or is it 9? It's 8 or 9. I just wanted to, Thomas, help me with this. In verse 8, is it right? The subject is I. The verb is will, and verse 8 is that men pray, and the I will is supplied for verse 9, women adorn. So likewise modifies so I will men pray, and I likewise will women adorn. So to emphasize that this passage is talking about the roles of men and women. Okay? Is that right, Thomas?
I make more copies, so I'm curious.
Okay. Okay. Today, we're going to start a new series in Sunday school. Kind of really on the maybe a different realm. But Galatians chapter number 5. And Galatians number 5, we're going to, in fact, all the Sunday school classes are teaching this passage of Scripture. Galatians 5:22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I think this is certainly a very convicting passage of Scripture. It talks about when it uses the word fruit, certainly is referring to the result of the Holy Spirit's work in a Christian's life. Now, this passage is certainly in contrast to what are the works of the flesh. Verse 19, it says, the works of the flesh are, and then it makes this whole list of different characteristics of the flesh or the old nature. Some of them are obvious. All of them obviously are obvious of that. So we have a contrast here between the Spirit and the flesh. Okay, in the passage of Scripture, we have four words that talk about three words that talk about the Holy Spirit. Besides the word fruit, we have the word led, live, walk, and then we have fruit. Okay? So let's look at those words here in this passage of Scripture. Let's see, where am I trying to find here? Okay, verse 17. Verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, it tells us mutual exclusion. Right? In other words, you walk in the Spirit, then you can't be doing that. You walk in the Spirit, then you will be doing this. Okay? It says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. All right? This is an important truth here. Is the flesh alive? Yeah, the flesh is alive. Okay? When you get saved, you have a war going on. Okay? There's a real war. And that's there's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. And the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Okay? The word lust means strong desires. Okay? Strong desires. So, the Bible talks about this battle that's within our own soul. Okay? And the flesh has a strong will to do this, and the Spirit has a strong will to do this. I ask people in a general sense, which voice is louder? Wally?
The one that you're in tune to.
That's a good answer. Okay. Yes?
The dog that you feed the most.
The dog that you feed the most. Okay. But there is a battle there, isn't it? Okay. Pardon me?
Till you die.
Okay. Somehow people think that the battle gets less as you grow older.
No.
Voice of olderness.
It just gets more refined.
Gets more refined, huh? Okay. Yeah, I can talk about older. I was asking Christy Forrester, you know, about her pastor, and she says, "Oh, he's older." And I said, "Older? How old is he?" And she said, 62. I said to her, "I'm 60. And she says, Okay. So we have a battle. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. Okay? So how does that... let's go to Romans 6 once. How does that fit with Romans 6, 7? For he that, verse 6, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve for sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay, so so we are dead. How are we dead? We're dead in Christ. We're dead in Christ. But Galatians 5 says the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Okay, so the positional truth that we have in Christ that we are to apply to our life, to the reality of life, is that in Christ we have victory over the flesh, and in Christ it has how would you call it? Positional victory over the flesh. Okay? And we see a contrast here in Rome, in Galatians. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. There's a real war, isn't there? Okay? But before you're saved, do you have any chance of real victory? No, because we're not in Christ. Okay? But Galatians 5 tells us about this war, and there are really two opposites. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Oh. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now we have important, we have a warfare. Now it's talking about if you be led of the Spirit. Okay, how does that fit? What does it mean to be led of the Spirit? I think I have something in our notes on that realm. Okay, if you're led of the Spirit, what does that involve? Okay. First of all, the Holy Spirit has to be there. That means you have to be saved. Number two, to be led of the Spirit, you have to be what? Conscious of the Spirit. Or of God. And then number three, we have to submit. We have to be conscious. We have to be saved. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within. Okay? Then secondly, we need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the best way to be conscious of the Holy Spirit? There you go. That's a very good answer. Have your mind saturated with the Word of God. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Verse 16 is really the verse. It says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay? So, can a person... I would say one of the tough points of a new Christian is to try to figure out, to distinguish between their spirit and the Holy Spirit.
That's part of the veil.
Mm-hmm. How would we say it's part of the battle? Because what about our spirit?
Our spirit wants to rise above the Holy Spirit, so you don't listen.
Okay. All right. I asked the question before, in its subtle nature, what voice really is stronger?
Flesh.
I always say the flesh is like a blaring sound, and the Holy Spirit is kind of like a still small voice. It can be very powerful, but you know, when your flesh wants to do something, it's really strong, doesn't it? Okay, so here's a question. Have you ever made a spiritual decision and you thought it was the Lord and it wasn't? Yeah. Thought it was the Lord, but it wasn't? Okay, so how do you tell? So what is the key to making sure that it's the Holy Spirit? Tim had the answer. Okay? How does the Holy Spirit lead us? He leads us the truth of the Word of God. If our mind is not filled with spiritual truth with the Bible, okay, then what's going to happen? Yes?
But the devil also used the Bible against Christ.
Yeah, but he twisted it.
Yeah.
He twisted the Bible. Okay? So, what does that tell us? It tells us two things. Number one, we better know the Bible. And number two, we better not twist the Bible ourselves. Right? We could do that. Right? We could want to do something so badly, we can twist the Bible to make it say what we wanted it to say. Right? So we have to be honest with the Scriptures. Okay? Ephesians chapter... Six. Let's turn there a minute. It says, "17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." Which is what? the Word of God. So my illustration is the sword of the Spirit, the sword that the Spirit has in its hand is the Word of God. All right? The tool that the Holy Spirit is going to use to lead us in the right way and to give us victory over the wrong way, okay, both offensive and defensive, is the sword of the Spirit. Means that tool, I just use it that way, the tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Okay? So we need to have the Word of God in our life. We need to memorize it. We need to think about it. We need to be conscious of it. We need to be thinking about, you know, what does God want? Well, how do we know what God wants? From the Bible, right? And so this is a very important truth to be led of the Spirit. Okay? And this is something that, you know, is continuous. Okay? Notice what it says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then we'll go on and talk about that a little bit later. Okay, verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay, what does, so here we have something that's, what do we do with the flesh? We have to crucify it. That means we have to put it to death. Okay? Here's a couple thoughts. Should you, the world would say whatever is on your mind. Be honest. Say whatever is on your mind. Okay? Pauline says no. Why? Because the Bible says what? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, if you're thinking it, don't say it if it violates the Bible. If you're thinking it, don't say it. Okay? The flesh says, you know, say what you want. The Bible says, no. You don't say what you want. Why don't we say what we want? Because we're sinners. That's why. You know, the world really does say, you know, the world really upholds that as something great. Well, I told them what I thought. And what they meant by that is that they used, you know, a lot of destructive words. And the Bible says, no, you don't do that. Okay, so the flesh, you have to put the flesh to death. Has to say no to the flesh. Tim?
I think in that we have to remember too that as the flesh dies, it suffers.
Say that again?
I think we have to remember too that as the flesh dies, it suffers.
Okay, that's a good point. As the flesh dies, it suffers. Okay, in other words, initially does it feel good to say no to the flesh? What do you think, Al? Doesn't feel good. Okay. And number one, because the flesh has its own feelings. It's alive, right? But feelings are also a result of what you're used to doing. Okay. Right? What you're used to doing. Yes.
Do you think we would say that we crucify the flesh more, or that the flesh was crucified at regeneration and the results of that become more apparent in our lives?
No.
Or that have crucified?
Well, it's not crucified my flesh, too.
He does?
What does it say here, Thomas?
What does have crucified?
It says what? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Okay?
Mortification, death is that's the command. I'm not sure if the crucifixion is said to be an ongoing process or if that was actually action.
Okay, so you're saying we're talking about two different things?
Yeah, I don't know if they're exact synonyms either. They're related to sure.
Colossians 3:5. I use these as a. Okay, you're saying that one is a past action, a past by accepting Christ. Here, Colossians 3:5, it says, "Mortify therefore your members." Okay, that's present action. Okay, based on the fact that. That you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Okay. So, let's talk about walk. How do you walk in the Spirit? What does that phrase mean? Yes.
Good example this week of if you took the challenge as we pray, we have the mind of God. We want God to have.
Okay. In there, I think Tim brought me a good one. Actually, we're. Can you see that? Walking is dependence, isn't it? Okay, and that has many different expressions, doesn't it? When you read your Bible correctly, with a spirit of dependence, okay, you can read your Bible intellectually, right? But you can also read the Bible in the sense of dependence, right? Okay?
Brother Wally has a good idea. He says that you hear him say it a lot. He says, "I must decrease and he must increase."
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Okay. Again, am I spinning? Yeah. So, there's a sense of dependence. A conscious dependence. There is a dependence expressed in prayer. There is a dependence in the very realm of reading and studying and memorizing the Bible. Okay? Dependence, the result of dependence... is speaking of the power, but it's also talking about or realm. If we walk in the Spirit, we're walking in the realm of the Spirit. Okay, what realm does He live in? What realm is He working in? Okay, and this is really moment by moment, isn't it? It's moment by moment walking with God. Yes. Okay. Okay. Certainly, because that walk is depending on Him. It's also related to leading. Okay. And in that sense, there is a faith that brings about obedience. Okay? Submission. All right? So, now, we want to just kind of take a couple minutes and look at, and we'll do it in more detail later, but Galatians 5, and I suppose there's lots of different ways that you can divide these fruit here. Really, fruit is the result. Okay? Here's a good I guess we'll get there in a minute. Okay. Love, joy, peace. Now, I've divided these into three categories. One is relationship to God. One is relationship to others. And C is relationship to oneself. And I'm not going to say that that is absolute, but I think there's a principle there that maybe you can see it help divide this. I think the second three are pretty obvious. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Gentleness is translated in the Bible. It's translated kindness. It's translated goodness. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." All of those phrases, words, are the same word, Greek word. Easy, goodness, kindness. 1 Peter 2, if so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. All of those words are synonyms of the word gentleness. Okay, so we see that this really has to do with our relationship to others. Okay, and goodness is obviously close to that, but it is referring to the ability and the desire to do good things. All right. And mainly those are expressed towards other people, right? And then lastly, we have faith, meekness, and temperance. Okay? Now, faith in the realm of an individual is the idea of faithfulness or dependability. Meekness really has to do with surrendering our rights. Okay? Our world is all about our rights, right? This is, I have this right to do. Okay, the Amish talk about when they've trained a horse so it can be led by a five-year-old, they say they've meeked the horse. In other words, here's this powerful animal that indescribable will obey the orders of a five-year-old. Okay? And if you think about us, think about our spirit. Just think about a two or 3 year old. They're pretty powerful, right? Think about a teenager, a rebellious teenager. What could you ever do to stop them? You really couldn't, could you? It's just impossible. Okay? But the Spirit of God is able to bring that person to, you know, submit, right? Submit to God. Yes, Paige? Mm-hmm. Okay. It really has to do with a right view of ourselves and a right view of God. And we have a hard time having the right view of ourselves. Right? Okay. And, of course, temperance is self-control, isn't it? Okay. And think about the first three. Relationship to God. Does the Holy Spirit cause a person to love God? Yeah. Causes a person to love God. Result of loving God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. All right? What could cause a person to want to love God? Well, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Okay? What about joy? I was thinking of 1 John 1:3. Okay, verse 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So the result of fellowship with God is what? Joy. And we have this real relationship with God. The result is joy. Okay? And peace. Lack of conflict between us and God. A harmony, a joy, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I was thinking of Philippians chapter 4. It says, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Of course, we have peace with God. And here we have the peace of God. But when we are walking in the Spirit, we have peace with God. We're not in conflict. We aren't fighting. We aren't rebellious. We are at peace with God. All right. Now, actually, my purpose in this lesson was really not to go into great depth here. But the purpose of the lesson was to kind of introduce the subject and start thinking about okay, what does the Bible say? The work of the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, what it does in our life. And to put that now notice here what it says. Galatians chapter number 5. Notice what it says. Is this the end of the list? Is this the end of the list? No. Because it says, against such. In other words, against such things. And so it's saying, now this is a sampling of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? It's just a sampling. It isn't the complete list. It is a sampling of a list of the realities of walking in the Spirit. And so there's a sampling of these attitudes, the realities of our relationship with God. There's a sampling of the characteristics of our relationship with others, and these are characteristic of our inward being. Okay, all right. So it says against such. It says against such there is no law. Now, what does that mean? Turn to Romans 8. It says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that purpose the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." All right, so it's simply saying, if we're walking in the Spirit, these are the fruits, some of the fruits of walking in the Spirit. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not be in conflict with any law, any of God's law. There won't be any conflict. And that's what it says in Romans. It says, okay, the life of in the Spirit of God, what does it produce? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay, so here is a real simple statement. If we're walking in the Spirit, we won't be violating any of God's law. If we're walking in the Spirit, there will be no violation of any truth of the Scripture. Okay? There won't be. And that's what it means. Against such there is no law. Okay? We'll never be found breaking any of God's laws when we are walking in the Spirit. And these things that are a result of walking in the Spirit, fruit taking place in our life, will not violate any of God's word. Okay? So, I mean, we certainly see in this passage, we see a completely different view of grace from the Bible than the grace that is being erroneously taught, that basically says, free for all, live the way you want. really live the way you want is exemplified the flesh, right? But the spirit is in conflict with that. Okay, so as we think about this, we have a whole week now to think about this list. Most probably everybody has this list memorized, right? Have this list memorized. It's very simple. Let's just take time this week to think about this list, these principles, and just to compare or to analyze God's work in our life. Okay? And I think we'll probably deal with a couple other things along the way. But as we think of this battle between the flesh and the spirit, okay, let's put it in a word that we can understand. As a dependable person, through the Holy Spirit, are they instantaneous? Undependable person, are they instantaneously dependable? No. But as the Spirit of God is working in their life, and they are conscious of Him, and they submit to Him, what is happening? In that particular instance, they are becoming dependable, right? They're saying, oh, I better do my job. I better keep going. Better not quit. Okay? But it's a progress, isn't it? It's a progress over the seated habits of the flesh. But the Spirit of God gives us progress, gives us progressive sanctification, a progress out of the life of the flesh, and produces this fruit that produces the character of dependableness. Okay, something for all of us to think about, and if that list won't keep us humble, nothing will. Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless, Lord, your word and these thoughts in our life. And we pray that you'll help us to purposely and soberly look at our own life as to what the Spirit of God would like to do and needs to do, and rejoice, Lord, in what you have done, that we could rejoice in your goodness to us and be encouraged to go forward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.